May 10, 2023, it's the Wofford Pedro Show.
Thank you. for Pedro Ford,
Show.
Thanks.
Happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Rise and Shine. That's the motto for today.
That's a good song.
People, you can tell I'm not man alone mode because of the wonders of those software engineers are stony with their Skype invention. I got Sean Bryan of Mears with, we heard this other proj, Matthew. This ain't Mears. So you have to enlighten me to this shit later with connections. And since you're already talking about your journey through music there, Sean, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
That's a good question. I mean, I was raised same time by sort of four different people. My mother was a single mom, and she constantly had R&B, soul, and disco on the record player at home and also in the car constantly. She was the first one to tell me what a beat was, what a beat meant, what a drum kit did. It served its function in the band, which is funny because my mom's not musical by any means, but she loves it. So that sort of like planted the seed. But at the same time, on Fridays, I would go to my grandma's house when she was getting her hair did. And my grandma was raising me on Benny Goodman, on a lot of big band stuff,
yeah.
You know, Glenn Miller. At the same time, on that same week, Saturday and Sunday, I'd be up at my cousin's house. So my cousins were getting me into top 40 radio. They were getting me into new wave. They were getting me into dance music, getting me into early birth of house music. Coming out of Chicago, because that's where I'm from. That's where I live now. And then at the same time, my mom fell in love and remarried, and my stepbrother, Steve, who now I find out is my real brother, years later, that's a different story sometime, but he got me...
a little complicated.
He got me into all the... he got me in all the Wax Trax bands, man. So Tracks,
which was big in house and stuff, yeah.
Funk, yeah, so like, you know, when you talk about Trent Reznor, like that's got a big place in my heart, but also so many other bands that existed before, and all the weird 4AD shit. So all this was happening at the same time, and I finally decided to do something about it after I turned 13. I went to a house concert.
Let's go back before that. This pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No.
So you had to use your voice. I mean, the voice is a fucking instrument, right?
Can I ask you about school?
Were you in the choir? Were you in the marching band? Shit like that?
I wish I was. I still wish I was. I was too doing theater.
Well, you know, nobody picks where they're coming to, but all the paths lead to now. So I'm just curious because there's a million ways learn music.
It all came from my brother. I mean, my brother was really the one introducing me to vinyl. He was the one playing.
Okay, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
That's a good question. George Michael, Freedom 90.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Good choice.
That's actually called Listen Without Prejudice. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah, Listen Without Prejudice. And watch out for those bathrooms in Beverly Hills. Scary place.
That was the first record I bought with my own money, but the thing is...
No, I ask you that. I ask you that because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so it's trippy to find out what did you spend your money on.
And the whole time I was going through my brother's record collection, and my brother Lou, my stepbrother Steve and my brother Lou, and he was getting me all the metal stuff, man, all the metal, all the rock, Hendrix, Led Zeppelin. I mean, I had all Led Zeppelin lyrics memorized by the time I was 5 or 6.
Let me ask you this: What was the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw, the first real gig I saw outside. I'll tell you, it was Fugazi.
Yeah,
that was the first
gig I saw
with Fugazi. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
That was the first real gig. You know, I didn't go to a huge concert, big signed label band. The first big band I saw at Aragon Ballroom was Alice in Chains.
I remember Aragon Ballroom, of course.
Yeah.
It burned
Aragon
down,
Ballroom,
right?
You played it before. I bet she's seen you play it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What about, now I'm not talking about graduating, but in the afternoon when school's out, did you get into that bedroom band thing, basement band, garage band?
I did, yeah.
Tell me about it.
There was a small little scene at a Presbyterian church. Of course, they're always at Presbyterian churches. There was a small little scene in Glen Ellen. My mom remarried. We moved to the burbs while I was in high school. And at the bottom of this basement church in Glen Ellen, they had these events called Kool-Aids. And Kool-Aids were where all the local punk bands came to start playing and start kind of figuring out what that whole thing meant to them. And that was it, man. I was 13, and that was it. That's all I needed to see. And I remember this band playing in a house concert that weekend. They played Smells Like Teen Spirit before I even heard it. It was 1991. They covered it the day after it came out. So my first time hearing Kurt Cobain was through a small, you know, punk band of like 13-year-olds that were playing in a house concert in my friend Carl's, you know, living room. So that was my exposure to that whole thing.
Right. Did you get into it? Did you join these guys?
Immediately. Oh, immediately. I mean, I got behind the kid. I waited till they finished, and I got behind the kid's kid.
Really?
And
was that your first time?
Later on, I wound up replacing the guy.
Was that your first time behind the kit?
Yeah, I was keeping it a secret, but that was the first time behind the kit. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And how did you know it was meant for you?
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, but how did you know?
Oh, man. So I was an art kid, and I knew that was the path. But once I knew because I was willing to exchange visual art for music immediately. I knew that was the switch I had to make, and my parents weren't really happy about it. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
They want the best for their kid.
But
you know?
I'm also curious because some people have a fucked up idea that drummers ain't really musicians.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I would say it's a lot of bullshit.
So for you to pick that, man, I think it's bitching. In fact, when I have drummers that are composers on this show, I fucking light up. I just dig
it. That's why the great ones are producers.
Yeah, and you know what? Nowadays, a lot of these cats, like, for example, Cliff Martinez, they do soundtracks. They're really good at movie soundtracks and shit. Because I think drummer guys, they're big picture people.
They are big picture people. They have a telescope inside the room. They have a macro lens.
Now, you told me that you ended up taking this cat's place. What was the name of this band?
At the time, they were called Joker's Wild.
Yeah. Now, do you remember the first gig you did with Joker's Wild?
I do. I do. It was at a little coffee shop. It was a big punk band coming into a coffee shop. What the fuck were we doing there? But that was the place to play, man. And then from there, it basements. And then from basements, it turned out to be like huge house parties.
But what about that? You know, you only have your first gig once, so I'm a little curious about it. Were you scared? Was this a success? Was it exciting?
I was shaking the entire time.
I still fucking shake.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got into music to be with my buddy, man. I was born to do this. But, you know, life's a trip, right? It's just a trip. You don't predict it. It just goes, and you try to... your hardest. Try your best. You guys gave me this music, this tune called Spasmatic. I want to play it.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Starting that chunk of music off with Mirrors. And people, it's Mirrors with two eyes. Spasmatic. And then we had Pelican Man, Part 7 of Planet Chernobyl. This is Charlie Plymell's. He wrote the libretto to this opera that me and Petra did. This is the almost in the middle. It's 15 parts. Playing one at a time. Svetlana Maras with 2019-2028. Brand new record from her. Wolf Eyes got a brand new record.
This is, yeah, they do.
Yeah, right. Pointer Stare, side two. And they just put out a record of trippy collabs. Kind of a compilation of collabs that they did the year before. Maxime Funko with South Dunedin. Shiverboard, brand new. Amphibian Fruit Punch. Moon X, this is brand new. 90 Mile Island. And finally, Mirrors with Gunshot Glitter.
There you go.
Speaking of glitter, the first gig I saw was with D. Boone, and it was T-Rex.
That was the first gig with the D. Boone seeing T-Rex?
Yeah, we were 14 years old in 1973.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know, you don't pick those kind of things. You know, back in those days, I got to tell you, T-Rex was way bigger in England than they were here in the U.S. He had only one hit. Yeah. But you know what? Now you tell people that, everybody like, whoa! But we just dug it, you know. They were first called Tyrannosaurus Rex. But by this time, that was like kind of two-man hippie jam thing. This was the more the rock band version. Slider was the album that just come up. You open it up, it's all orange. Flo and Eddie singing behind. So, Brian, it's your turn. Can you please bring me your earliest musical recollection?
Yeah. My parents had a Southern gospel band when I was born. My mom and dad would travel with my grandparents, my dad's parents. And they would sing at churches all over the Appalachian area, grew up in West Virginia. Anyway, we were in a lot of churches when I was a kid, and I remember my very first memories were, I remember being in a recording studio in the 70s and seeing the mics, the drums. I remember seeing a Vistalite kit. I remember seeing a clear drum set. I remember in my living room once seeing a bass guitar that was red, like candy apple red.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the little colored fiber at the end of the guitar strings on the headstock.
Bass
strings. And just, yeah, on the bass, yeah, the bass strings. And I'm a little I think they prejudiced. Were like blue, you know, like,
yeah,
they
sure,
were like
sure.
Round we blue call them, fiber.
We call them wraps, right? But some strings don't have them. Some companies don't make them with them.
Right, right.
Right, right.
Well, this was probably late 70s. And, yeah, I just remember looking at it and thinking, wow, this is really cool.
Well, you know, and what then, I'm thinking? I'm thinking vaudeville. Because, you know, when you were born into a vaudeville showbiz family, you became part of the act. Did that?
For sure.
For example, Charlie Hayden, right? Petra's father. He was yodeling before he ever saw a bass. He played stand-up bass. But he was yodeling Cowboy Charlie. He's like 3 years old. They bring him into the act. Yeah, and he's touring with
for
him.
For sure. I mean, I was on a few of their albums. I remember being in radio stations and them, you know, I remember singing on their albums and singing on stages in churches when I was three.
Yeah, so your first instrument was your first instrument was your voice.
Definitely it was my voice, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you what I asked Chris. You know, first album you bought with your own money.
First album I bought was, I'm pretty sure it was one of two albums. I don't know 100% with 100%
remember, it's a lot from
it was either. I'm sorry?
It's a lot from Pedro Show, so there's no wrong answers. There's no hard questions.
Right on. Right on. Well, I am certain that it was either Aha, Hunting High and Low, or it was Cinderella Night Songs.
Okay.
I'm going to say it was probably Aha. That song, Take On Me, was on the
sure,
radio.
Sure,
I
sure.
I lost my mind.
Maybe a VH1 or a video, MTV,
yeah,
that's
right.
What I'm thinking of.
We were too poor for MTV.
No, but I remember that. It was. I remember it was big, though, because of that video.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was big on the radio, too. And probably live, your first live gig was watching your folks.
That is definitely true. If we're counting that, then yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah. Now, what about, were you homeschooled or did you go to, like, you know, grade school and that kind of stuff, like marching band, choir?
No, I went to public school.
Oh, okay.
Public school, I played the trumpet for 1 year, and I think I might have gotten kicked out of the band. I was really just uninterested.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to play guitar at that point. I remember getting it in my head that I was going to be a guitar player, and it was Christmas. I'd asked my parents for a guitar. They get me one of these Harmony guitars, and like, you know, the
you're talking acoustic,
amplifier.
Right? Oh, no, Harmony. Oh, like
Harmony. Yeah, it was a really crappy little Sunburst.
Sort of like Dan Electro kind of thing, right? Silvertone.
Yeah, it was like a cheapie that they carried at the department stores.
Yeah, I think Silvertones were Dan Electro's, made for Sears.
I love those.
Those are actually really great guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
But
Masonite.
These Harmonies, they were not good.
No, no.
Inch off the neck.
Yeah, that's right. Helps build up the finger strength.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like jogging at the beach in the sand.
Yep, that's right.
Right, so, okay. Well, you know, a lot of parents, people been on the show, and the first guitars they get are acoustic guitars, so they're wondering why they don't sound like the shit on the records.
Right, right.
Right.
You know what, though? I had a friend who I was in middle school with, and he, like, you know, I grew up in church, so I wasn't allowed to have long hair, only a mullet. And this guy was in, for real though, this guy was in my history class.
I believe
and
you.
He had really long hair, like a bass player in Cinderella. I was so jealous. And he had this 212 crate amplifier, and he had a BC Rich Warlock and like the overdrive pedals. I was like, fuck this
pedals.
Guy. This is the sound. I don't know how to get this sound.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He had it.
That pedal thing was a trip, you know, because, there was no way you could get, like, you know, Master Reality sound out of acoustic guitar.
No way, man. No way.
So, okay. So I'm going to ask you what I asked Chris. Basement band, bedroom band, garage band, did that period ever come to you? Or I should ask you,
sure.
Do you use that Harmony guitar to jam with Mr. Cinderella from with the long hair?
Not with him, but I did meet some guys in junior high, and we played at a dance, and we had a little band. It was all covers at that point, and it was called Masquerade, and we did the, you know, we printed T-shirts in the art room and then ripped the sleeves off of them.
Yes.
And I used all my parents, like, they had this little Bose, you know, put the little boxes on the stands rig, and this little Yamaha, like, six-channel mixer, and these, like, white Electro Voice microphones with black metal grills. And we used all their stuff from, like, their gospel band in this gym. And I'm sure that it sounded terrible, you know?
Yeah, the acoustics of a basketball gym is not happening.
For sure. And, like, we sucked, and we didn't have any sound treatment or anything, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But it was the first time I ever played in front of people, and it was addicting. It was, you know.
Well, what happens with Masquerade?
I mean, we played one other show in the town I grew up in Huntington, West Virginia. There was a police officer who hosted these, like, teen nights at a local club, and it was all ages, you know, no booze or anything like that. And we were able to play one of these shows, and that was really cool because it felt like we were really doing it in a club, you know, and probably the same set. I don't know. A couple people were different members at that point. And then I moved into high school and started a proper band, and we played all through high school. We ended up getting an indie record deal with somebody in California and Concord up north.
Sure,
and,
it's by San Francisco, East like, Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah
East Walnut Bay. Creek, Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just, you know, stole our parents' minivan and hit the road. And that was it.
You stole your parents' minivan.
I mean, we didn't steal it. They let us borrow it, but we did blow it up in California.
Oh, shit. Sorry about that.
Yeah, man, when you're pulling a heavy trailer and you're driving through the mountains up in Northern California.
Oh, shit, yeah, Rocky. Well, that's I-80. That's fucking... That's the Donner Pass.
It's high up there,
That's
man.
The
yeah.
Donner fucking Pass where those people ate each other, supposedly. No, it could be snowing like a motherfucking August on that pass.
That's right. It's heavy duty. That van couldn't keep up, so you know we just blew a rod straight through the fucking hood.
Yeah, I did that once in Ohio, Franklin, right through the fucking case. I had to conk it for 2 days because the cat couldn't do it, so I sent Edward and Georgie off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this was the fire hose days that you miss here.
I do. A lot.
Brian, did you get stuck in California?
We did. We got stuck out there for a couple days, and then the guy who kind of sponsored us and brought us out, he bought us plane tickets and sent us back to West Virginia, and they threw our van on some kind of one of those big things that carries a bunch of vehicles. This was in the mid-90s, and they threw it on one of those racks, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And for whatever reason, it comes back. This is a conversion van, right? So it's got, like, the furry seats and tables and stuff. So it comes back to West Virginia, and we open it up, and there's, like, 6 boxes of cereal dumped out all over the floor, and it was a mystery, you know. It's like, what happened in this van?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Somebody was taking a free ride across
the country. And there was no fucking Ishmael. No Ishmael who lived to tell the tale. We all love Moby Dick, right? But anyway, the boat came back. The only place I got to play 7 or 8 times was Morgantown in West Virginia. Because college town, right? Underground Railroad. Well, yeah. I had several names.
WVU, yeah.
Yeah, right. But this club that was right near, and so that's where I played. But I drove through many times and stuff, and
it's beautiful.
Yeah, absolute. We're at the end of the first hour, May 10, 2023 edition. Watt Peter's your special guest, Sean Brian and Mears. Hold tight for hour 2. May 10, 2023, second hour, Watt Peter's show. Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Mears doing Knockoff. And then we had part two of two. This is Sawako. Sorry. Go on this side. Live at Roulette, New York City, November 29, 2007. Finally, Vertigo Wales. Some associated prods. You guys are going to like me to tell me your name. So, how did Sean meet Brian? How did Mears get together?
Brian?
Sean and I were both on an airplane probably in 2001, I'm going to say. And it was pretty empty. I'm not sure where we were going. But I was super jazzed on this band, Icelandic band, Sigur Rós. Their first album had just come out. And I was blown away by it. I was listening to it on my Sony Discman. And, again, the flight was totally empty. Sean was sitting in front of me, and I was really super amped about this album. And I thought, he looks like a musician. So I tapped him on the shoulder and asked him if he'd heard this album, and then I gave him my Discman, and he checked it out. And I don't think we really exchanged info or anything, but we had some mutual friends that we didn't know about, and we would end up, you know, in the coming weeks and months, becoming friends and or acquaintances at that point anyway, because we really didn't know each other. But we would, you know, you see people around in the same scene. And that was the case. We were both playing with different projects at the time.
But what town is this? Because you're talking about on an airplane.
Chicago.
Oh,
yeah,
Chicago. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you guys are playing the same scene. You're sharing some bills or stages or at venues?
Not at that point.
Okay.
Our bands weren't even playing together, but we would just kind of see each other around.
Okay, okay.
And I knew who Sean was, you know. And we did our own thing for a handful of years, and we really became friends before we ever played music together. We would hang out occasionally, go to the Long Room and get a drink, go to Lake Michigan, hang out, just talk and stuff. And you know, it was years later before we really played seriously. We played together one time. We went to Sean's rehearsal space, a place that he was keeping at the time, on Ashland in Milwaukee. It was probably 2006, maybe.
Milwaukee. You know what reminds me of Milwaukee? Is the Double Door.
That's right.
You got it right. Rest in peace.
Get this. Yeah, I played there many times. They gave me a giant inflatable Jim Beam bottle that I got my prac badge.
Nice.
I hang it from the overhead so it like cuts down on, you know, it helps treat the acoustics.
That's right. Very tastefully.
So you go over to his prac pad and you have this one jam.
Yeah, we have this one jam, and then I end up moving to Phoenix, Arizona pretty much right after that. Life just took me out there, you know. Sometimes it's hard to say, you know. You go back and it's like everything in life could look different if you make one different decision, you know.
I think they call it the butterfly effect, right? That Ray Bradbury
right.
story where the guy stepped off the path.
Right.
Yeah. So all the alphabets all change and shit. Yeah.
That's right. So I'm out there for a handful of years. I go back to Nashville. I moved to Nashville for a handful of years. This is like 2014 now. And I start coming back up to Chicago because my now wife, she got into grad school there. And I'm like, well, let me hit Sean up. Like, you know, we'd communicated through the years and a lot of my other friends had moved to the suburbs. And let's hang out. So I go to Sean's place. He has a rehearsal space, still different space. And we smoke a J and write like 15 ideas immediately. It was
Whoa.
Crazy. And like, I'd say two of them are on the Mirrors album, the first songs we ever played together. And
three?
Maybe three, actually three.
Three.
Yeah. And Sean and I just like, we just never stopped after that. I mean, we really weren't sure what to do at first about it. We just kept playing every time I would come up. Then eventually I moved back up. And, you know, we went at some point, we're like, we got to start recording this stuff. So we went to Electrical.
Steve Albini.
You know?
Yes,
right.
You got it.
And I mean, we really took our time making the album, not necessarily intentionally, but we didn't know what it was going to be or what we were even going to do. We just thought, well, these are good songs. Let's keep writing. Let's start recording.
We ain't done a gig together, right? I don't mean to assume or anything.
We'd never done a gig.
Yeah, okay. What a trip. You know, but sometimes shit happens like that. You know what I mean? And,
for sure.
Like when they say bottle the lightning, bottle it up. That's like you said, you wanted to record it, right? That's like a bottle of the lightning.
Yeah, I would say bottled lightning, and I would say that bottle was, you know, shooken up a few times. You know?
I'm on a plane. Where did we go?
Where did we go?
Man. Was this one of the first batch?
It was not.
Okay. It was just a guess. Here we go.
As I walk among the fields and forests, concrete's raining on my head. I don't know if I can feel anymore. A voice is saying there's something to see. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Mirrors started that chunk of music. Where Do We Go? And then the Holy... No. Wrong. Fields and Force. Where Do We Go's next hour, of course. Why wouldn't I put it there? Because it's like asking the question when you're ready to end the show, right? Not in the middle of the fucking show. What? Like I said, 22 years, I'm still blowing claps. No, Fields and Forest, people. And then after that, we had Cities and Eyes and Valdrada. This is from Italo Calvino's The Visible Cities, the Bromley Symphony Orchestra featuring the Underwood Piano Harlequin Quintet. Can you guys enlighten me to these other projects you gave me? Matthew and Vertigo Wales.
Yeah, Vertigo Wales is a project that our guitar player Dimitri Rakuba, it was a band he was in Chicago, probably in the mid-2000s. And Matthew is a band that I was in. We were on Ryko Disc, and we made this album for Ryko Disc. We recorded it in Minneapolis at a studio called Flowers. Super fun time. We worked with Paul Coldery.
Paul, Boston guy. Well, Ryko's
yeah,
Boston,
that's right.
Too.
Yeah, that's right. He recorded and mixed the album.
He did Fly in the Flannel for Firehose.
No, he didn't.
I wouldn't shit you.
What?
Look, can you guys remember the first...
In Minneapolis.
Can you remember the first Mirrors gig?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, we weren't even Mirrors yet. It was just trying to figure out. It was essentially, it was myself, Brian, and Dimitri still making sense of what this was. We didn't have a name. Didn't even have titles of songs, but we played a loft party at a building that I had just moved into. You know, there was a lot of cool shit going on in the place.
Yeah.
And then we also, we did a show at the Hideout in Chicago.
Okay.
Under the same sort of faction, the same sort of idea. I mean, we really didn't know what this was going to be, but we knew that we had to do something. We had to start getting some interaction with the public just to see if it's any good or not. Lucky for us, it was. We felt that way, at least.
Well, when did the Mirrors name come around?
You know, it's up for debate, but Brian and I finally came up with it probably, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. This is pre-pandemic. And we went and got a drink at Christina's place in Albany Park in Chicago. We went and played some pool. And we went outside in the back and, you know, we had a few, and Brian and I typically go into meaning mode. We get into a sort of more philosophical conversations on doing what we do and why we do it, and that's not just about music. That's about everything.
Yeah.
And the I'll let Brian pick it up from here, but it really began a conversation about self-reflection, reflecting unto others, and how music was a part of that. But I think Brian's pretty good at defining that part of it, right?
I mean, I get confused. I'll do my best because I had a few that night, and you know how sometimes you think it's something you're saying is brilliant in the moment, you get a thought.
Oh, yeah, like, of course.
5 minutes later, it's gone.
when you're thinking about the mirror, I'm thinking of the Pink Floyd Umma Gumma album where you got the picture inside the picture of the picture of the picture.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I thought, like, if I'm talking to you, you are reflecting by, like, you're responding to me a certain way with everything that I say, and you're looking at my expressions on my face.
Right.
And you're looking, and now I'm seeing you and how you're reacting to me, and we're like mirrors to each other. Like,
right.
I could tell what you're getting and what you're hearing. And like how I'm being perceived by just my communication with you and what you're giving back to me. And that was it. We're all mirrors to each other.
Yeah. And then by using two eyes, like it's two people.
You know what? That didn't even occur to me until we were on stage at the Liars Club in Chicago.
Yeah.
The two eyes thing. Yeah.
Personal pronoun, right? Look, we're at the end of the second hour, May 10, 2023 edition. Watt Peter, so special guest. Ron Shiat, Sean and Brian, Amir's, Hold Tight for Hour 3. May 10, 2023, it's the third hour of Watch for Pedro Show.
are rolling and the peaches are rotten. The oranges are all piled up in their crates. They're flying us back to the Mexican border to pay all our money to wave back again. Goodbye to Juan, goodbye Rosalita, adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Marie. You won't have a name when you ride that big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he ever made in his life. 600 miles to that Mexican border, and they chase us like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves.
Thank you.
after that first meeting on the airplane, you went and checked it out. And you found out he had all this going on.
Yeah, I did. And that's the first thing I wanted. And I wanted to know who I was talking to. And I did. And it right away, even the guys I was playing with at the time, I was in a more sort of a shoegaze rock band called Waves of Light. And yeah. All of us were pretty blown away by Brian. Brian hung out with us. My buddy Andrew and I, he hung out with us, and we went to go see Spiritualized over at the Vic.
Yeah.
And that was my first time, like, really hanging out with Brian a little bit deeper than just conversation. Like, we got to go see music together and kind of experience that with our friends. And I was really sort of mystified by the whole experience. But when I had a number of times, it's actually how I met Dimitri. I met Dimitri because Dimitri and his band were opening for Brian. And that's when, so years later, whenever I ran into Dimitri backstage at a venue, that's when I was like, hey man, you got to check this out. I got something hot going on with Brian. And right away he was interested because all those guys looked up to Brian. But then in terms of like back to Matthew, like I was so into that band and I had already been friends with Brian long enough to where when their drummer couldn't play a show, Brian had me join him over in Indianapolis at Radio Radio.
Oh, I know that club.
Yeah, it's a great spot. So I had some, you know, I had a bit of like a visceral experience with Matthew, other than just hearing him on my stereo, you know?
Sure.
And I was around for that whole time when they were making their second record. I remember just sort of being on the peripheral of that and really, really respecting what those guys were doing on the second record. I hope that I saw it.
You're talking the second
point.
You're talking the second Matthew album. I should tell the listeners.
Yeah.
You heard,
yeah.
Starting off the third hour, is Matthew doing Army of the Rabbit and the Mouse. And then Jeb Loy Nichols with Deportees, Tragic Assembly, FYA, Pestalozzi, Jeb Bishop, and Damon Smith. And then finally, Mears. Now, what was the first Mears song you recorded?
It was probably Parallax, wouldn't it be, Sean?
It was.
It was the same day.
It was Parallax. Yeah, we had done Spasmatic. Yeah, we done Parallax, Fields and Forest, and Spasmatic in the same day.
But you didn't give me Parallax, so I don't know what it sounds like. you didn't give me Parallax, but you did give me Spasmatic. What was that? That was second one recorded?
Yeah, I think so. No, yeah, it was the second one. Then Fields and Forest came after that. But Parallax was so strong. Parallax was the first song we ever wrote together back at the rehearsal space when we had that sort of Genesis day of letting that lightning out of the bottle,
wow,
as you so coined.
Right.
But
why didn't you give it to me?
We liked it so much that it wound up being the first song on the record.
Yeah, but why didn't you give it to me to play?
I thought you had the whole record, man.
No, I only got the songs I can't.
Well, shoot.
but that's okay. Now I'm curious. I'm going to track it down. I want to go hear it. Okay. And anyway, I want to have you guys on the show again. You bring it, and we'll listen to it next time. Right? There's going to be a second fucking Mirrors record, right?
Man, I'm going to bring the record over to your house, man. Don't worry about that. I mean, after this, I'm going to come over.
Come down to Pedro. You know, I used to practice the Porno for Pyro guys in Boo, and it was 58 fucking miles. And this was in the mid-90s, so it'll be about a three-hour ride for you, brother.
I have no problem with that, man.
Okay, let me play Where Do We Go? Now, Where Do We Go? Okay. We go to Pedro, right? Okay.
Secondhand watch of the secondhand watch, wishing that the watch was wishing it secondhand. So I bought it for a dime.
Marry my mother, cause he's divorced. Marry my Football boy for the football fine. Somebody shooting at the football gun. A football player with a football soul. Gonna be a number one on a football ball. Everybody feeling up the football ball. Everybody hollering to the big ball. Some kind of win. Some kind of shoot. Make a football man and a football ball. One, two, three, four. Two, three, four. Five, six, seven, eight. Oh, now we appreciate football day and a football night. Football fans yell, fight, he fight. Yelling, screaming, football crowd. Make a football fan feel football crowd.
Sam has taken our liquor away from us. When we try to make moonshine, it kicks off an awful buzz. We're all afraid of ginger, but we'll drink beer on our bus. I got the beer on blues. When I can't know when the fans are giving me the eye, I can't do it. No use trying. Wanna get me a bottle? I fall into the mouth like a hog. I got the beer on blue. Some folks you got just for a tonic. Take it from me, it's best for your tummy. No use trying. Sorry, ever been drunk by man. Get along in that bottle, and you'll never be sober again. I got the beer on blue. No use trying to stop us anymore. You better look out, Mr. Tiffin Star. No use trying, I can't lose. Been long gone in that beer on blue. La la la.
Caressed by the dew, beautiful morning glory. Good morning glory to you.
Thank you.
What for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Mirrors doing Where Do We Go? Then we had the Holy Moly Rounders. Peter, sorry, but
Holy Moly.
Yeah, from the 60s, right? 1965. This it was the Indian War Whoop album. Peter Stempfel was on the show. He's still around. Steve Weber's no longer with us, but Peter's still playing his fiddle and singing and stuff, and he sent me this, so I thought I'd play it, you know. Music is music. I really have gotten to hate this genre idea. I just fucking hate it. I think it keeps people separated, you know. Once you start it with the arts, it goes through all of society. So I want to open up some minds that way. So
I agree with you 100%, man. Music is it's turning out to get more and more glacial in the future, the way that we're going. And the deeper you get, the wider, you know, the wider it spreads. And I think it's great. I think it's time.
Yeah, yeah. I think the whole genre idea was some marketing man's lazy ass attempt at trying to make his job easier.
You're not wrong.
And it just fucked up everything. Yeah, it's terrible. You got people going to war over, you know, whatever. It makes me kind
of
crazy.
that's also like the pros and cons of radio, right? I mean, that's the expectation radio set up back in the 40s and 50s.
You're right.
Calling it jungle music, yeah. You know, and now here we are in the jungle.
Yeah.
And it's fun that way.
Yeah. And what's the plan for Mirrors? Now, when did the record come out?
The record came out March 24th.
So it's been out almost 2 months. Okay.
Yeah, it has. And now we're about, probably the next week or two, we're about to announce some tour dates.
That's what I was going to ask. What about some
tour
rides?
Yeah, we're going to be doing several legs. We're going to go down as far south as Nashville, as far east as New York, as far north as Minneapolis, as far west as Omaha for right now. We're going to do a whole Michigan tour, do a Southwest tour. So we're going to get busy the second half of the year.
Okay. And what's the band? Is it Dimitri?
Yeah, Dimitri, Andre Miller, Patrick Riley, myself, and Brian were a quintet.
Quintet, okay.
Absolutely.
And where can people find out about you on the internet? Is there a Mirrors website?
Yeah, you can go on Bandcamp. It's mirrors2eyes.bandcamp.com. You
sure.
can find us on all streaming platforms. And then we also have MIIRRORS, smears.com.
Okay, people. Probably there you got links to all that corporate shit, so you can go.
Yeah, I mean, we also have we got the vinyl, the vinyl presale, because the vinyl starts shipping out in July, so that's really important.
Absolute.
That's it.
Because there's been, right, big delays and stuff, but they're you know, the pipeline is getting more happening, and people like buying vinyl now, huh?
More than ever, it's hot. The time, man. I wouldn't say more than ever, but I would say in modern times, more than ever. And we're coming back. It's coming back as it should.
Yeah, also cassettes.
Seems that
also cassettes. What about that? Cassette. I think it's just the whole analog idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have the record on cassette as well.
Okay, let me ask you this. You know, you get done with the record, all this work, doing it, getting it together, and you're like, whoa, finally done. But then so many cats I know in music, they're ready to go for the next one. Are you guys like that?
Absolutely.
So what do you do? Do you have a bunch of ideas? Do you have a bunch of tunes? I mean, what's your composition method? Do you guys make demos?
So we, in the past, like, you know, in this first album, it took us quite a bit of time to build it because we were building the band
as
we were making this album. And all the songs were really written on this album with drums and electric guitar and vocal.
Yeah.
So then we kind of put some clothes on it, but by the time the album was coming out, we had a band, and we had, you know, I'd say for the last year, we've been writing as a band, and that's been a very different process. And we're at the point now where, you know, the next time we've probably got 15 songs ready in 1 year that we're really into. And I'd say the next time we go in the studio, it'll look a lot different. It'll look like us getting all of our sounds up and just playing the songs down that we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll do some overdubs, of course, and we'll take some creative liberties in Pro Tools if we feel like it. But we won't be assembling the album so much. It'll be more of a band playing it down.
Well, so, it's dangerous to assume my pop hated that way. Well, he said that's no accident how it's spelled, boy. But... some of these tunes for the next batch, you might be doing on these concert gigs. Is this tour to promote this record? So they'll get good and pracked up, right? But playing them in front of people is the best kind of prack for a tune, right?
It's just shaking that bottle, like you said, man. Shaking that bottle.
We played a show at Liars. Yeah, it is interesting because some of the songs, it's like you don't know until you play them in front of people. And then you see, oh, this one, you know, was a little weaker than this one in response. And, of course, that depends on the crowd also that night.
Absolutely.
But it goes back to the mirrors thing. We're getting a really good mirroring back of, like, is our shit good or not?
Yeah. Instead of, like, when you were just forming, you're just, like, shouting into the void. Now you get in the mirror, with the band name.
Right.
Reflect.
Amen.
Well, look.
Absolutely.
Can I put out the invite right now? When you get that second album together and record it, will you come back on the show so we can play it and talk about it?
Please. Yeah, I beg you. Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
It'd be big time my honor. And I'm curious. And hopefully you make it past west of Omaha. T-Boone's Pop was from Nebraska. So
for sure we will.
You come
it's
to SoCal. SoCal,
time, you know?
Yeah, tell Watt so he can come to the gig. And I'll get in the pit and start the shit. Even with the bad fucking knee. I'll try my best. No, really, Brian, Sean, I wish you the best. Keep on keeping on, please.
Thank you, brother. Absolutely. Really, thank you so much, man. It's been an honor to talk to you, man.
Right back. Can't wait to have you back on the show. People, it's been May 10, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your body dry.